Thessalonians, turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. Second part of the series, message on power. And here's the verse you all need to look at this morning. And I'm going to read it, and then we're actually going to just read it together. I want to get it in your spirit. It says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." Can we do something we almost never do? Let's just, to get this in our heart, can we just read this together right now? Just follow with me, and just you repeating after me. We'll read off the screen so we're all in the same version. Let's read together. "For our gospel did not come to you," you guys got it a little louder, "in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." Father, this morning, I pray in these few moments I have to share, I pray that our hearts would be open to the wonder of your power in a fresh new way. Lord, because inevitably there's those in this room right now that there's something going on in their heart, their life, in their relationships, in their family, and in their workplace, their career, that, Lord, there needs to be something happen that needs to go beyond, above and beyond them. Lord, today I just pray that we would just realize and sense something else can help them, and that is your power. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me just take a moment to review quickly three of the points that I talked about last Sunday morning to bring us all together in case you weren't here. You can listen to the full message online on our church website. I talked about four realms of power. The first one is the power of the gospel. This word that we don't use often, but it's the first word in our scripture that we're looking at this morning, the power of the gospel. And in that, we learn that the gospel is for your good. It is for the good of everyone around you to lead you into the character of Jesus Christ. And as you think about that word, it is the good news of the gospel that saves, that heals the soul, that brings peace to our heart, and removes shame and guilt from our lives. I tell you, there's people that live with so much shame and so much guilt that the only thing that can do that, that can clear that, that can give peace, is the power of the beautiful gospel. As I think about that word, and I shared this last Sunday morning, when you think about that word, there is nothing negative about the gospel. It is only positive. When you think of that word, now, it's come to set us free, to break bondage, to help heal. I talked about the word in the realm of the gospel last week, the word anointing, and Jesus uses the words in Luke 4:18. The anointing of the gospel, it breaks oppression in our life. It can break depression in our lives. It can break addiction of any kind, and it can bring freedom. It's the anointing that comes through the gospel that can change and touch our life. Now, I want to just tell you this, that the only negativity, so the gospel in itself, Paul says in Romans 1:16, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation," right? So as we think about it, there's only one negative that can come with the gospel, is that if a family member or a friend, you turn your life to Jesus through the power of the gospel, how many of you know that some friends or family members don't like good things happening in your life? Isn't it crazy? And the only negative to the gospel is that somebody around you is going to criticize you and say, "Oh, you turn to that Jesus stuff, you turn to faith." That's the only negative. But the gospel in itself, everything about it is positive and not negative. That's the only thing that can infringe on it. So the first one we talked about last Sunday morning is the power of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we talked about the power of God's word, Hebrews 4:12. We learned that from that verse that this book is quick and powerful. And it defines there, the writer of the Hebrews says that God's word is so powerful that it'll reach in and it'll separate, and it'll discern between your thoughts and your emotions. It is actually what the scripture is saying there. And it will reach in and it'll cut through to your spirit. And it will reach in by it the power of God's word. You can look at that verse later. It's quick and powerful. And it says it this way, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, sometimes we need a little correction in our life. Sometimes we got something out of bent. We're not seeing. And God's word will correct those attitudes in our life with power. But he also blesses us with his power as well. So we talked about the power of God's word. And then thirdly, we talked about the raw power of God to understand that before Paul wrote this, it's important to understand that what happened just a few weeks prior to that, he was in prison, thrown falsely in prison in Philippi, and God came along. He and Silas were together in that prison, Acts 16, and God sent an earthquake to free them out of there. So we talked about the raw power of God. Now, we learned last Sunday morning that we don't want to worship that. Paul didn't talk about it the rest of the time through 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, but realize it's a factor. It's reflected in our key verse in the very beginning of 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, right? But in power. He had just experienced it in his own life, and that's what we learned, that God can work in power in your life, but we don't want to, we don't want to just glorify that power. We want our worship to be towards our Lord and Savior and towards God the Father. Sometimes people make the mistake and they glorify the power of God. You can take what I just showed you and you begin to glorify that and miss the purpose that Jesus has in our heart, in our life. So the raw power of God. So the fourth this morning I want to talk about that we see here, the words in our text. It says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about this point, and I'm going to spend most of my time here this morning, the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the power of the Holy Spirit's evidenced throughout the Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament. Jason Crone, who is one of our missionaries on the back wall, he was actually in our youth group in Michigan years ago, and he was here. He spoke on a Sunday morning 18 months ago. I lose track of time. And he was going to be a missionary. He and his wife, Bethany, are missionaries in China right now. And he was telling, I don't know if he was telling our missions team and us, or just Sue and I were out for dinner with Jason. And so he's in China this morning. And so in their state-approved churches in China, they have state police that come in. They're in plain clothes, but they come into every service. They sit in the back to monitor what the speaker is saying. And every service. And so they've given two directives that they cannot, within their state-approved churches, we know there's underground churches, but there's two directives that they're given. And Jason told us this because he'd already been over there for several years. They cannot speak about the Holy Spirit. And they cannot speak about the second coming of Christ. Isn't it interesting that 1 Thessalonians speaks about both of those very things? So why are they afraid, the authorities in China, afraid of the power of the Holy Spirit? Because they know that it can change the person from the inside out. That's a little telltale, right? That should just open our eyes to say, there's something to this. There's something about this. So let me just give you, I'm going to give you three arenas where the power of the Holy Spirit can touch your life, touch our life. The first is individual testimony or individual story. Paul had a story. He was quite a religious man. He was a Jew. He was bent on his religion, and he was killing Christians. He was so bent on his form that he missed Jesus. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of him on the Damascus Road. Damascus Road is Syria. Damascus is in Syria. And he gets a hold of him, and for his own good, not for his bad, the Holy Spirit just knocks him down on that road in Damascus. And he just gets his attention, and actually the Lord allowed a blindness to come across him for 3 days to get his attention. And so Paul had this story, and Jesus, his voice comes to Paul, and he says, Jesus said to him, why are you kicking against the goads? And he said, why are you fighting against me? Jesus says, I have good for you. I have good news for you. You're just locked up in a form of religion that's killing you and killing everybody else around you. He says, I want to free you. So Paul had this story. So we see the scripture in Acts 1:8. Dr. Luke, the contemporary of Paul, writes these words, but you shall receive power. After that, what? The Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So what was Paul saying? He says, I have a story. So when he was called upon to tell his story, he would stand up before Felix, he would stand up before governing authorities, religious leaders, and he says, here's my story. Here's my testimony, what God did in my life. Can I tell you this morning? You have a story. That you opened your heart to Christ. There's some area of your life that he changed in your heart and your life. You opened your life up for Jesus. I could probably open it up right now and we could take till 3 o'clock in the afternoon telling our story. And they're beautiful stories. I've heard many of yours. They're wonderful. About how the Lord has touched your life, how Jesus has come in and saved you from sin and made you a new person. But it's not meant to keep it to yourself. He says the Holy Spirit's, the power of the Holy Spirit's been placed upon you and in your life so that you will be a witness. You'll share that testimony and that story. There's sometimes that in church life that some discourage that. That's not true to the Bible. The Bible says that we need to share our story, and that's where the Holy Spirit helps us. Because sometimes we're talking to a friend at work or something, and we don't know what to say. But it says here the power of the Holy Spirit is there to help you share that story. Some of your stories are beautiful. They're powerful. They're amazing of how God touches your life. I shared with you, listen to the message online. I shared one of those stories that Jerry Brisson shared about Mark's family last Sunday morning. So beautiful from how God's word delivered them from alcohol and from heroin and atheism. Just boom, God just turned their life around. Beautiful Christians today. So the power of personal testimony. So let God use your story. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will use your story to touch those around you, their lives, and it will bring change to them. You maybe have people around your life right now, family, friends. You know something's going on in their life. And so, you know, you don't need to know the Bible front and back. You don't need to know it. You say, Pastor, I don't know the Bible too. Don't worry about it. Just tell your story. And the power of the Holy Spirit will use your story to touch the lives of others in a beautiful way. The second one is maybe a stretch for some of us. It's this. So the first one is individual testimony. The second is visions and dreams. Let's just talk about this for a minute, okay? So it talks about this in the Bible in this realm. I'll get to that scripture in just a second. I guess you can see it right there. It says in Acts chapter 2, your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. And I think I'm getting to the older part of that verse. And I want to tell you, some of our dreams and our visions are weird. A few weeks ago, I wake up in the morning, and Sue's waking up, and her alarm goes off at 5:30 every morning, and we're trying to struggle to get out of bed and get going for our day. And I said, Sue, I had the strangest dream last night. I was a weatherman, and I predicted that there was going to be 96 feet of snow. She said, you're not a weatherman. So we have stupid, weird, retarded dreams, don't we? We really do. I had one last night. Some night or morning before I got up this morning, and it was startling. And my wife laughs at me. Most of my dreams have animals in them. There's some weird animal story. And so I had one of those last night. And I don't know what this meant, but our brother and sister-in-law have a golden retriever, big golden dog. I mean, it's just the friendliest. His name's Luther. And I always go pat Luther on the pet him, and I'll say, hey Luther, give me a sermon. Give me a sermon. And he's just a great golden retriever, great dog. But in my dream this morning or last night, whenever it was, I had this dream that he was tied up in these wires, and he couldn't get out of these wires. He was just all tied up in these wires. And then a follow up dream to that, I was in this area, and I can't remember who was Sue and a few others were around, and. There was this area where we were doing something in, and out of this little log was a little snake. It looked like my mom is terrified of snakes. I mean, she would, you bring a snake around her, she will murder you. Okay, it's just woo. And I love my mom, but just don't get. I won't get. There's a story I won't get into. maybe I will. One Christmas, we had one of these little wiggly wood snakes, and we put it in a box, and my mom opened it up. And she said, if you do that again, I'm going to take you out of our will. I mean, it was just, whoo. So I had this, in this dream, in this little log, there was a little snake that was coming out with like a cobra head. And it was just little. It was kind of poking its head up. But after my dream went on, and went on a little bit while, that snake grew. And it just grew out. And all of a sudden, I crawled back in some little cave thing. But you get my head back in, protect your head first. My feet were sticking out, and I was afraid that the snake was going to get my feet. And I woke up. And now, here's why I'm saying that is this: is some of these weird things, intimidating things like that, they don't come from the Lord. They're intimidating. They're fear based. They don't. Do you understand that Satan works in supernatural too? And understand that. that those God will never come to you in some vision dream in some way that is intimidating, fearful, frightful. He will never come to you because that's not the God. That's not good news. That's not the gospel. So I'm just telling you right up front, if you have those things, just you wake up in the morning, just dismiss them. I'm human. Human psyche. These things happen. So, but the scripture says something amazing. He says, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. So we learned of this in our church a couple years ago when Tom Doyle came, and understand that God's word is very difficult to get into the Muslim world, and Tom works in the Muslim world, and he was a Baptist guy. He didn't even think about this stuff. I mean, this is like, woo, I don't think about this stuff. And all of a sudden, he's a missionary. He's over in the Muslim world, and all of a sudden, he starts hearing the testimony, the story of people over there in the Muslim world, and Jesus is coming to them in a dream. They have no access to the Bible. And Tom, who doesn't believe this stuff, he starts listening to their story. And all of a sudden, he goes, there's something to this, that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, is working through a dream to bring the person of Jesus in the Muslim world where they have no access to a preacher, they have no access to God's word, and person after person in the Muslim world is hearing about Jesus because the power of the Holy Spirit is bringing Jesus to them in a vision. And so you heard the testimony. We had Danny from Syria here in our missions month. Was it last year, you guys? I can't remember. Last year he was here. And about how God is working in the Muslim world in such a way. And how many of you know that that proves the validity of the truth of the scripture? And how many of you know that Jesus is good news? It's not something to be feared. It's not something. So the Muslims are telling their story in private behind the scenes. Jesus, Jesu, appeared to me in a dream. And it changed our family. And the men over there are mean and they run and cheat on their wives. And the men who have to repent and say, I'm not going to cheat on my wives and I'm not going to beat my wives anymore. Their lives are being changed because of a dream, the power of the Holy Spirit that's reaching out. You heard the testimony yourself in the last couple of years. Tom wrote a couple books, Dreams and Visions. And another one that we wrote, I'm blank on the name right now, that we read, that we gave it out to all of you, story after story of the Lord working through this verse, through the Bible, through the good news of the gospel, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through dreams and visions. God still works that way. Now, I want to just, so let's go now to Paul. So here, he writes this, we read this, the work of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. So Paul, how did Paul get to Thessalonians to write this scripture and to minister to the Thessalonians? He got there by a vision. Let's look at the scripture right now. Acts chapter 16. Look at this. Verse 9. So if you go to Thessaloniki today, it's called. It's still there in Greece. And in Thessaloniki, it is today still, it is the capital of a territory. It'd be like to us a county. It is the capital of the county of Macedonia. So here's the scripture as Paul is receiving. So it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a vision. So you call that a vision or a dream. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia, that's Thessalonica, to help us. So you say, we're reading the book of Thessalonians right now. We're studying this verse. How did Paul get there? So we recognize that a few weeks prior, he'd been shaken out of prison by an earthquake by the power of God. And then also, he got to Thessalonica because of a vision and a dream. The power of the Holy Spirit working to even direct him there and to guide him to that place. So this whole arena of the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, was working in this to get Paul to this place. The next verse says this. Look at this. Verse 10. It says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, or Thessalonica, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So do you see what this dream or vision? It was good news, and it directed Paul and Silas to go to Thessalonica. And it's an amazing today. It's affecting us because we're reading the book of Thessalonica today. So it was a good way that the Holy Spirit used this dream or vision. Now, if you come to me next week and you say, Pastor, I had a dream. I had a dream that we want to have more people in church. So we're doing WWE SmackDown Wrestling in church next Sunday morning. I'm going to look back at you and I'm going to say, you had too much pizza last night. Get thee behind me. You got it? Okay. We have to be careful with this stuff. Very careful. I'm just teaching what the Bible says. The issue is that anything like this comes, there needs to be a confirmation that comes from God's word. Anything that God gives you should never disagree with this book. Never, ever. It should be under the counsel of godly leaders and other believers that it witnesses with their spirit. Never just run off on your own with something like I'm talking about right now. Just run in some direction that is ungodly or never. So I'm just saying with deep caution. But I'm showing you in the Bible, I'm showing with what happened here, how Paul got here. I'm just sharing with you the truth that the power of the Holy Spirit can work in these ways for the good. Now, let me add to that. This video that you saw, and I'm going to refer to it in a minute, that evangelist that I'll tell you who he is in a moment, I love that video because it never said the evangelist's name. It showed the people and what he did. Awesome. But I want to tell you how that happened. It's because that evangelist had a vision of Africa being washed by the blood of Jesus. He was a simple, average, ordinary, he's a German guy. Out of Germany. Can you believe a revival can come out of anybody in Germany? Okay, I'm just kidding if any of you are there. But anyway, God used him because he had a vision when he was a simple missionary about the blood of Jesus washing over Africa. And that's what happened, and you saw the result of it in the video. It came from a vision and a dream. Thirdly, mass evangelism. So as I said this morning, it is my heart just simply to raise the awareness in your heart to the power of God. That's all I want to do this morning. So from these words that Paul wrote in verse 5, the power of the Holy Spirit is still active. I wanted to show you by this video that what he wrote here is still active today that you could see with your own eyes by this video. What he says here, for the gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and much assurance. And you see what kind of men we were among you for your sake, so that you can see it with your own eyes, that what he wrote here is still valid and happening today in our world as well. So as we think about this, this evangelist, he relied on the power of the Holy Spirit in this. Now let me just give you the backstory of this video that I showed you and the gentleman involved, I'll give you the backstory. Many years ago, in a small German town, this man he was writhing with pain to the point where in this village, he would scream out, and everybody in the village knew that something was wrong in that house. It was just out of control, the pain, the misery. Another, not this guy, but another simple missionary went into town, and he says, where can God use me? Where do I need to go? He didn't even know where to go. And somebody in town pointed him to this guy who's in terrible pain and his life's a mess in this little small house. And this simple missionary went over and he prayed over this man. And when he prayed over this man, he was delivered immediately from everything that was afflicting him. He was healed instantly from everything that was ailing in him. He became normal, everything, all the pain went, and he was delivered. He was set free. He didn't know what happened to him. He asked the missionary. He hears about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wants to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. He gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that story, it didn't stop there. That man in that little house that was delivered, it was his grandson that you saw in the video leading those mass crusades. We're talking about the power of God. He knew in his family's history that God could work with such power. And so God used him tremendously in that. He is known, he died. The reason this is fresh in my mind is because he just died just within the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I was actually preparing for my message a couple weeks ago, didn't have anything to do with this, and I was watching the memorial service a little bit online concerning, he became known as the Billy Graham of Africa. His name is Reinhard Bonnke. If you wanted to be blessed, just go on YouTube later this afternoon or this week and just read or just look at some of the videos. He died as a man of honor, nothing corrupt in his life ever, but God used him with tremendous power, and it was not him. He died a humble man, nothing about himself, and God used him tremendously. So the blood of Jesus, he had this vision of the blood of Jesus washing over Africa. I'm going to take a moment here, and we're going to finish. But I want to show you. I'll show you him speaking to a large crowd, and is it okay? And so you'll see him in a large English speaking crowd, and he's kind of speaking, and he's having a debate with an atheist. Okay, it's kind of a little humorous. And so you want to just listen.
I've told this on other occasions. I will never forget it for as long as I live. I was invited for a television interview, national television, experts discussing religious questions. Well, I was very fortunate to be invited. And when I arrived there, I found that they only had invited another expert, and he was an atheist. So I thought by myself, how come they invite for this discussion an atheist and me, a hot evangelist? And then I got that, wow, I think they have done this because they won a good fight. And I must confess, my German nature sometimes is still quite awake. I like a good fight myself, especially when it comes to Jesus. I spoke of a good fight. Now, here the moderator starts the talk. We are live on television, nationwide. And here the atheist takes off. And he says, Bonnke, you preach that there's power in the blood of Jesus. I said, yes, I do. He said, I believe there is no power in the blood of Jesus whatsoever. I said, why do you say that? He said, because the blood of Jesus is already 2,000 years in this world. And the world today is worse than it was 2,000 years ago. And because the presence of the blood of Jesus in this world has not made this world better, but it has become worse, that's why I say there is no power in the blood of Jesus. I said, Mister, wait, I want to reply. I said, Mister, there is also soap in this world, yet many people are still dirty. I said, Mister, let me explain to you how soap works, in case you don't know. I said, if I am dirty and I stand next to a piece of soap, I will not be automatically clean. Soap doesn't work automatically, no matter how close you get to it. I said, Mister, you won't even be clean, even if you should work in a soap factory. I said, now, Mister, this is what's going to happen. If you want to know what soap can do, you've got to reach out with your hand. Get that piece of soap and start to apply it. Amen. Oh, I said, if you do, you will know that there's power in the soap. I said, and so it is with the blood of Jesus. It's not enough to know it. It's not enough to sing about it. It's not enough to preach about it. I said, Mister, now I dare you. Reach out for the blood of Jesus. Apply it to your sinful life. And if you do, something will happen to you. What has already happened to hundreds of millions of people all over the world. You will jump up. You will throw up your arms. You will shout. You will sing. You will say, there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
Okay, it goes on, and I cut it off early, but the atheist sees him in the lobby the next morning, and he says, Monkey, pray for me. And that's how that ended. So, the power of the blood of Jesus. There's last I'm going to finish with this, is mass evangelism another way. He says in the scripture that Christ gave evangelist pastors for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. You know what the goal of this is? It's not that we see all the stuff that he did in Africa and what happened. You know what God's plan is? It's for you. The goal is for me to equip you. And you know what? As people all over this world, as you're equipped by pastors everywhere, and you just share your story with them, as you share what the Holy Spirit's done in your life, you share what Jesus has done, you just share your story. Can you imagine the mass evangelism would happen if we just all do that? That's more than what he did in Africa. Just use, and so he says, our job, my job is to equip you. All I'm doing is just opening your heart to what the scripture says and what he says in verse 5 here. And so let that happen. He says in this verse, he says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and the Holy Spirit and much assurance. I pray today, some of your translations say deep conviction. I pray in your heart that there's much assurance, that Jesus is who he says he is in your heart. There's much assurance. No matter push comes to shove in life, no matter who ridicules you, no matter how criticizes you, no matter what your extended family says to you, I am a follower of Jesus because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that's a part of your life, and it is. So we believe in God's power. We believe in the power of the gospel, his word. We believe in the raw power of God. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the life-giving power through his blood. We believe in the power to heal, which I haven't even talked about this morning, which we believe in that. I ask you this morning, what do you need? What does your family need? What's going on around your life? I want you to know that the power of God is here to reach into your soul today. It is. Let's stand together this morning. Chris, can we sing that song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul? And here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Every head bowed and I closed in this room right now, no one looking around. And I just want to ask this question this morning. In this room, number one, either you have never asked Jesus to come into your life, that your life is washed with the blood of Jesus like he spoke about, like I've spoke about. You say, Pastor, I've never got there. I know about Jesus, but I've never let him come in. Or you've been away from Jesus and you need to come back right now. If that's you, all of this room right now, just raise your right hand. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Just raise it up right now. Say, I need Jesus. I need the good news of the gospel in my life. Just pray. Just raise your hand right now. You need to come back. Yep, I see that hand. Awesome. Awesome. Others. Hallelujah. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Now, how many in this room right now, every head bowed, I reckless, no giving privacy to everyone in this room. You say, Pastor, right now, there's an area in my life, my family, the only way I can describe it, Pastor, is I need the power of God to touch my life or my family or some circumstance in my life. Just raise your right hand right now. Say, Pastor, pray for me right now. Hallelujah. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Everybody who just raised your hand for either reason, I'm just going to ask you to stand. Just those that raise your hand, everybody else can stay back there. Just come and stand around here. Do not be ashamed. Nobody's going to ask you what it is. We're not going to ask you one bit of what's going on. You just raise your hand. Just stand around this altar. Just stand. Come right now. And I'm going to pray a closing prayer right now. You know what's going on. But I know the power of God's here to change that situation. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, right now. Power of God. Power of the Holy Spirit, right now. You see every situation right now standing in front of me. Lord, you know the heartache. You know the difficulty. You know the confusion right now. And I just pray right now, just the power of God, the power of your word, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not word only, but God, you are here to affect the lives and bring health and bring good news to every situation right now. I pray right now, we just stand. Those of you that are standing around, just open your hands like this and just say, I'm a receiver. I'm a receiver. Hallelujah. We receive your power in every situation, every personal situation, every emotional situation, every spiritual situation right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Father, I just plead your blood over lives, over hearts, over minds right now where there's the attacks of the enemy that are coming in. And the lies, Lord, just like that song said, we belong to you. I pray every lie would be silenced in this room, that we are embracing a God that's powerful, that's loving, that cares for us. I pray that every bondage, everything that would be, every addiction that would be broken this morning, whatever it is in this room right now. And Lord, maybe some of us in this room, we're addicted to ourselves and we need to repent. And we just need to say, God, forgive me, and get our eyes out on others and to care for others and love others. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing around this altar right now. You see these hearts. You see what's going on. Nobody's asking them. Nobody knows, but you know every detail. Hallelujah. Scripture says you know the hair upon every one of our heads. You know every situation. Hallelujah. Power of God work right now. In the name of Jesus. Let's in agreement sing this song, Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's lift our hands together all over this room and declare the power of God in this room. And let's acknowledge what the scripture has taught us this morning. Can we do that together? Let's lift our hands and just acknowledge his power, his goodness, his glory today. Hallelujah. Sing together. Honor him right now. Lift your voices to him right now. Let's just recognize that he's here in our midst. He's here to work in your heart and your life. Hallelujah. Sense of difference. There's something going on here. I don't know what's going on, but God does. He cares about you. There's something about when Jesus wrote in Luke 4:18, and I don't understand it all. It's this word, it's beyond human. This word anointing that it says it breaks oppression, it brings liberty, to heals the brokenhearted. He cares about you so much. He cares about your family. I can't help you. But there's a Jesus who cares.